Walter Day.
Oh, shit.
What? Walter Day?
Is he bringing his fucking guitar? That son of a bitch.
What's wrong with Walter Day?
What, did somebody just watch The King of Kong last week?
Not need to remind each and every citizen of Rapture that free enterprise is the foundation upon which our society has been established.
Everywhere you go, everything you do, it's always done for death, pain, and misery.
Our men are running from the battlefield, a shameful display!
I'm wheezing still as well, so that's yeah, that's what happens when you're sick. But yeah, so Haas, what were you up to last week? I'm tired. What were you up to last week?
Because it's time for the Video Destruct Podcast.
It's true, it is. I'm usually the one that does that.
That's okay. To yell, and I didn't want you to cough.
That's
so.
Okay. That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. Oh, yes, it is time for the Video Destruct Podcast. And this week, I'm going to talk about MAGFest and my time at MAGFest and all the things that went down there, because MAGFest, the Music and Gaming Festival in Baltimore, quote-unquote, Maryland, it's actually a national harbor, but they say in, Baltimore. Just
is it the suburbs?
It's literally like across the bridge from Baltimore, but they just say Baltimore because Baltimore is a bigger name. It's like ASIN and Wizard World Chicago saying it takes place in Chicago when actually it's in Rosemont, which is like right over here next to Chicago.
I like how they act like Seattle and Tacoma
yeah.
are right by each other. So yeah, I was like, oh yeah, I'm flying into SeaTac, which is Seattle Tacoma Airport.
Yeah.
Like, you know, everything's going to be right there. It's not right there.
It's not right there. It's miles down.
It's not right there.
It's miles away, actually.
It's at the deli across the street. No, it's not at the deli across the street. That is not.
That's not how that works.
No. Nope.
But yes.
When did you get back?
I got back Sunday night around 11 and went to bed immediately because, fun story about the drive home. I didn't drive at all there, so I decided I'll just take the brunt and drive back, you know. Got up, was feeling pretty good, was feeling real well. A little stiff from walking around and going to concerts and stuff, so.
And from all the ladies in cosplay.
All the ladies in cosplay.
Boom!
You know what I'm saying? And I spoke with some, you know.
Were there any bayonettas there?
But there actually were no bayonettas. I saw no bayonettas.
That was not a good con.
It was light on the cosplay. I'm going to go ahead and say that.
That's probably better.
Yeah, it was light on the cosplay. Like, there were some good cosplays there, but it was pretty light. It was mostly just people just chilling out and having fun. You okay, Willow? Willow's coughing.
We're in Baltimore. You don't want to get mugged on the way there.
Yeah, you don't want to get mugged on the way over. But anyway, so on the way home, I decided I'll drive the majority of it, see how long I can go before I switch out. I'm feeling good.
If you're me, you can do the whole thing.
I was totally going to do the whole thing, because I'm like, I'm feeling a little stiff, but I'm like, all right, finally, like, it's a 9-hour drive. Got about 3 hours to go. We finally hit Kentucky. So I'm like, all right, we'll pull over to this gas station real quick. I'll stretch, get a little water, a little bit of something, and then, keep going. And as I pull in, I get out, start heading towards the gas station, and I start to feel that fever dizzy.
Oh, that sweat.
And just like, oh, that's no good. And I just start to, like, kind of things go a little bit, like, you know, wavy. And I'm just like, someone's going to have to do the rest of this one, because I had to get some OJ and go to sleep.
Like, the mescaline starting to kick in.
It was just like, it was bad, man. I was totally willing to do the whole thing, but that con crud got me. It just, creeps up on you, and it's gross.
It's typically why I don't go to those things.
I know, it sucks. And I kept hand sanitizer at arm's length, like at all times. Like, I made sure that I was, and they're pretty good about that stuff. Like, it's on all the tables and everything. Make sure you keep doing that, but sometimes it'll just pass through. It could have just been lingering in me, and then I got really tired while driving, and it just came back up anyway. I have no idea.
I have one question for you.
Yes, what's that?
Did you have to let it linger?
Did I have to
did
let
it... Did you have to?
Yeah, I did.
Did you have to let it linger?
It's not...
We had to get the singing out of the way early.
It's not a Video to Struck podcast if Haas doesn't sing something.
And it's usually the worst song.
I know. We need to get a full cover of a song by you eventually.
Yeah. If, we're recording an original so we can use it as the theme music and
true.
Just drive everybody fucking nuts.
I agree. That's all this thing's supposed to do, isn't it? Anyway, MAGFest was a blast, and I will talk more about that later,
cool.
Despite getting a fever. Haas, we don't really have much news to talk about, do we?
One good piece.
Yeah, one good piece of news. Let's talk about that, then.
The HTC Vive,
mm-hmm.
The Valve-sponsored 3D headset,
yes.
The one that comes with the big lighthouse thing where it's basically you need an empty room to use the full capability of the lighthouse stuff. Basically, it fully immerses you in the game. It uses all this tracking technology for you to be able to walk around this room and exist in a video game.
Right.
there's a really cool game that if you can find some footage of somebody playing it, it's called Job Simulator.
Yeah.
Job Simulator is fucked. It's basically just like, you're the worst employee. But you're the worst employee in the sense that, like, aliens came to Earth way later.
Okay.
After civilization is gone. And they did all kinds of research about what were humans like. And this is their simulator for what daily life for humans in the 21st century, you know, at the beginning of the 21st century was like.
That's pretty
good.
So, great.
Like, you know, you sit at a fucking keyboard, and the keyboard has two buttons on it. Because they're aliens and they like speak binary, 1 and 0. And yeah, like they're fucking like you can like dig around in the trash and like there'll be like rotten donuts in the trash and you can eat the donut and get sick and throw up everywhere, or you can put the donut in the copy machine and it just produces more rotten donuts and it's really fucking dumb.
What
have you ever seen Surgeon Simulator?
I have seen Surgeon.
It's the same guy.
It's the same guy as in Surgeon Simulator. Okay,
so yeah. It's real fucked up. It's a real dumb
that's,
video game.
That sounds
so
amazing.
What I'm saying is that my next house will probably have an empty room that is just for the HTC Vive for me to only play Job Simulator.
To only play Job Simulator.
But there's some interesting stuff about it. They finally released a lot of the details and stuff like that. They haven't gone fully into system requirements yet, other than the fact that it only needs a USB 2.0 like USB port,
okay.
Like as opposed to the Oculus, which this doesn't necessarily matter that much. So it makes, but it does make me curious about how this thing actually interfaces at high speeds.
Yeah,
because the Oculus needs 3 USB 3.0s and a 2.0.
Right.
This thing is just one USB 2.0.
One USB 2.0.
So that's kind of weird. But the thing, because it comes with all the lighthouse stuff and the two controllers. And it's everything that they've shown in their preview coverage as opposed to Oculus, which stripped out their extra controllers and doesn't have full room support and everything. You know, the Oculus is priced at $599. This is
$799.
Mm-hmm. So it is more expensive, but this is the premium package of premium package for that product. So it's... I'm not going to say it's a good price.
Right, yeah.
But, I mean, if you're somebody who wants to get in early... you know, I've heard a lot of really good things about the Vive. I've heard, like, differing opinions. Like, some people feel like the headband feels a little bit better on the Oculus. I've heard that the screen quality in the Oculus is a little bit better than the Vive is. But the Vive has a bigger field of view. Like, the screens themselves are bigger.
Right.
So, like, as your eyes scan up around, like, you're going to see less of the black space around the screen.
Sure.
So it does feel more like you're in it.
Yeah.
Which is important, especially considering that the whole pitch for the Vive is that, like, you are existing in a room.
Yeah.
And walking around and shit.
Yeah.
And the other cool thing is, like, and they haven't said necessarily how, like, interoperability is going to work with the two platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Because Oculus, all their games are going to be hosted on their own digital delivery service.
Mm-hmm.
Those games aren't going to be on Steam.
Right.
Oculus-capable games will be available on Steam, but most Oculus... built games are going to be housed on their own service.
Right.
You know, to kind of give them their own storefront and stuff like that, and stickiness, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, clarity of...
Sticky.
And, you know, Valve's not going to go out and make a button on there like they do for, like, Linux and Mac to say, like, here's all your Oculus games.
Yeah, yeah.
Because exactly. They have their own.
They have their own thing. They're not going to, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm curious to see, like, you know, once all of these things are out, you know, what goes where.
Mm-hmm.
What's compatible in both places.
Right.
And I want to see about 6 to 7 months of what these early adopters actually think, and some comparison tests and some durability reports and things like that, because I do want one.
Right.
I want one for less.
Yeah.
Which, that's just time. It's electronics. Give it a little time. I know where my sweet spot is for these things. It's around $400.
Right.
And from all intents and purposes, it sounds like that PlayStation VR is $400.
Right, yeah.
So, and I've heard nothing but great things about PlayStation VR. Mm-hmm. You know, granted, it's not going to be as technically capable as the Vive or the Oculus are, because it's on a closed platform, you know, system,
right?
As opposed to the open PC base. But I'm liking that price point more. And if that thing comes out and is received well, I may delay, you know, building a PC that's Oculus or HTC Vive ready,
right?
And just goof around with that for a while, because, like, these ones aren't the thing,
right?
You know, that's what I think we all need to realize, is that this is step one.
This is the start, yeah. This is the foundation laying for real VR kind of experiences.
The best example I would give for this is the Game Boy Advance was a decent handheld, but the Game Boy Advance SP is the one you want.
Yes.
The Nintendo DS was a cool system. The Nintendo DS Lite's the one that you want.
Right.
And it's like that with a lot of things. Like, you know, when 4K first came out, your response rate was bad, and upsampling was poor, and upscaling was poor.
Yeah.
But 4K TVs now, yeah, you want those.
You want those, yeah.
You know, they're a good expenditure of funds, you know, if you're the kind of person. And if you want to hear more about 4K TVs, I wrote an article last week that's all about this. Go check it out on the site. And I kind of say whether you should buy one or not. And spoilers, some people should, other people shouldn't.
That's to each their own.
Yeah, and I give my own specific thing. Use case, and hopefully that sheds a light for somebody. But I'd had a few people ask me, like, why the hell did you do that when you said you weren't going to do that? And then I went and explained why I did that.
Well, there you go.
But yeah, so that's really the only thing about that. $799, February 29th is when pre-orders begin for that. Mm-hmm. Those units begin shipping, I believe it's April 13th.
Yeah.
Which is about 2.5 weeks after Oculus starts shipping.
Yeah.
Now, as of right now, unless you buy one of those Oculus Ready bundles that comes with a PC that's like $2,500, you're not getting your Oculus until like late summer now.
Right, yeah.
When you go to pre-order, they say, like, hey, you're going to get it by the end of July or by the end of August, whatever. And they keep pushing the dates back because they got a lot of people that are really interested in that thing. So,
yes.
Curious to see, like, how, given that so many people went out and jumped and threw down money for Oculus, how quickly these sell out.
Yeah.
It's not that much, you know, that long afterwards, and we're still in tax season, and it's still the new thing, and a lot of people were probably scared off of the Oculus because it was like, I don't want to wait 5 months after I give you my money to get my thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if other people are going to say, fuck it, I'll just get the Vive.
Right.
Because the upshot is that I haven't heard anybody say one of these is the bad one.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You know, and a lot of reviewers have had a lot of time to, you know, go to preview events and get hands-on with this thing, and I've not heard anything bad at all.
Yeah.
And the other reason I want a PlayStation VR is they announced Rez in VR.
Yeah.
And I want that.
You want Rez, yeah.
I will have that.
I will have that.
That's about it. I mean, 3D is continuing to try to happen.
Yep.
I guess there is one other piece of 3D news. VR news.
Yeah.
Is that Sony has said that their unit will not be shipping in Q2.
Okay.
So it will be sometime after that.
So I would say that Q3.
I would say that'll probably be a late September, early October ship.
Yeah. They definitely want this year. They don't want to be.
Yeah, and I don't think they want to ship it in November because you don't get second and third and fourth hits with
it. Yeah,
exactly. You get one shipment, and that's about it, and then everything else has to happen next year. And as you're seeing with stuff like the Elite controller that Microsoft released, those things are on store shelves everywhere now.
Mm-hmm.
That was the hottest holiday item. If that thing had come out in September, they would have had months and months to, all right, you hit the people who need to have it day one, then you get the gift people, then you get the suggested gift people, then you get people buying it with gift cards and all this other stuff, and, you know, Microsoft's doing fine with the Elite controller, but, you know, you can see where they could have made more money quicker with that thing if you released it earlier.
Right.
But it's all down to, can they get the parts?
Yeah.
Can they get the build quality set?
Yeah.
Is there no failure rate? Because, you know, Sony has not commented on this publicly, but everybody who has seen that thing says there's a box hooked up to the PS4.
Right. So it's a giant...
That has an extra processor and more RAM.
It has an entire thing of processing and RAM.
Nobody said what's in it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Nobody knows if it'll be on the final product.
Yeah.
I'm inclined to believe if they want this thing to remain 1080p and anywhere near 60 frames when you're using VR...
Yeah.
That thing's gonna have an extra box with it. It's gonna be your fucking N64 expansion.
No, it's just a stand for the goggles. That's all it is.
Yeah,
it's just a stand. You just put it on there.
It's like remember the horizontal stand for the PS2?
Oh yeah.
Wasn't a stand.
It wasn't a stand at all.
You just sat it on it.
Sat it on it. That was all.
Get a blue piece of plastic and bang. I'll be honest though.
Yeah.
I have a PS2 horizontal stand.
Do you? Yeah.
I didn't pay for it.
You didn't pay for it? Well,
I own one.
Well, that's fine. You didn't pay for it. It's not a sin. So, but yeah. Other bit of news is some local news. Louisville Arcade Expo is next weekend. Not this upcoming one, the next one, I believe. Yes. That makes sense. March 4th. So, yeah.
Yes.
Next weekend, Louisville Arcade Expo. We got some guests coming this year. We haven't had many guests come to this thing. It's usually just been people coming and bringing in all their arcade games and stuff like that. And last year was kind of got hit because we had a snowstorm or like that ice storm that happened like really late in the year, which is sometimes happens in Kentucky because we're insane. And
first week of March, man, you almost always get one.
You never know. It's just crazy. So, but yeah,
We're getting snow tonight.
Yeah, I know, we're getting snow tonight.
But it's going to be 70 on Saturday.
It's going to be 70 on Saturday. It doesn't make any sense. I'm going to a baseball game on Saturday maybe. So whatever. But anyway, but yeah, Louisville Arcade Expo's coming, but we have guests coming. Haas will be there this year.
I'm a guest. Fun.
Yes, you will be a guest this year. I will also be there as well, along with many other people. Steve Ritchie, the King of Flow, pinball wizard designer extraordinaire, is going to be there.
That's cool.
Which is pretty cool. The big one, I think, is Billy Mitchell will be there at the Louisville Arcade Expo.
That motherfucker.
That piece of garbage, Billy Mitchell. Oh, man.
Is he going to bring his fucking hot sauce?
Probably. I guarantee you he will fling his hot sauce. Like, oh, that didn't sound right at all. But no, I guarantee he will come by to pitch his hot sauce. Abso-freaking-lutely. Right.
What day is he there?
I think he's going to be there on Saturday.
Not going that day.
You should just come by. I mean, you don't have to... He's just going to be in an autograph signing. You don't have to go
fucking
see him.
Dick.
You have to go see him. Like, who cares?
That man smited me many years ago. Fuck him.
Many years ago. Walter Day.
Oh, shit.
What? Walter Day?
Is he bringing his fucking guitar? That son of a bitch.
What's wrong with Walter Day?
What, did somebody just watch The King of Kong last week?
I think we just hit a level of being able to get guests.
Steve Wiebe is next on the list.
No, Steve Wiebe is not. He might not be. Hold on, who's next? Okay, it's not.
Thank God.
What do you got against the head of? Anyway, anybody doesn't know, Walter Day is the head of Twin Galaxies.
Not anymore. He retired.
He retired, but he was the head of Twin Galaxies, which is a website that kept track of like the high score of old school arcade games and who has the high scores of those
in
games.
The most unscientific way possible.
Pretty much the most unscientific way possible. You have to literally send in like a VHS tape of yourself doing it, and it's weird.
I always felt like as soon as I heard that, I was like, the idea that, what do you mean he can ship a fucking VHS tape in?
Yeah.
I can do fucking anything to that.
Exactly. Yeah.
So here's the thing.
Yeah.
And it's got to be like Guinness.
Yeah. You gotta be there.
A judge has gotta be there.
Gotta be there for you to break
it. It can be at your house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It can be at an arcade.
And I get it. It's like, the reason that it's such an authority, he was the first one to kind of think of it, and he doesn't have the resources to send a judge out to every place. But yeah, I agree. It's just like, if you're going to be the guy that's going to, there should be an event held, which they have an arcade, and he's going to try and beat the record, and that's what needs to happen.
But you know, Guinness tried to buy him years and years ago.
Really?
And he thought he could really make a killing.
Yeah.
So, like, his offer was out of control.
Really?
And then Guinness just went and made their own Guinness World Record of video games book that's more respected than his.
Ouch. That's mean.
Well, that's what you get for being a piece of trash.
Yeah, I get it. Oh.
I hope he's sitting there fucking wearing his hoodie, playing his fucking guitar outside. Like he was at the end of that fucking movie. You know, I hate the King of Kong.
You hate that movie, really?
I don't like Indie Game the movie. I don't like the King of Kong. I fucking hate him.
Really?
They're just... The amount of melodrama that they drum up in those is just...
Yeah, well, I don't think you had to do much with Phil Fish. You just had to put a camera on him and he starts to freak out.
Well, he is melodrama.
He is melodrama incarnate. Like, he is of flesh, yes. Of melodrama. The last guy is Joel West, who is the guy who is he's the star of Chasing Ghosts Beyond the Arcade.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that movie.
Okay, yeah.
That one's not bad.
Yeah, well, there you go. Okay, he's the Berserk and Frenzy World Record holder, that's what it is. Yeah, Berserk's a good game, love that game.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they'll all be there.
It's no Cobra Triangle, but I like it.
It's no Cobra Triangle, no. Cobra Triangle is pretty good. But yeah, that's going to be at the Little Arcade Expo, and we'll be there. And
you know what bummed me out?
What's that?
I've got a game that I'm convinced I'm better than just about anybody in the world at.
Yeah.
And it's Time Pilot.
Yeah.
But the problem is you can max the score on Time Pilot.
Yeah.
So like, there are like, even on Xbox Live, there's like 800 or 900 people that have maxed the score.
Right.
But I can keep playing after that for like an hour and a half.
Right.
Like, man, so, if they found some way to alter this just to keep the score rolling.
If they found a way to keep the score rolling on it, or if you all were in an arena, and the moment you max the score, you're now in the competition, and the time clock starts. And you have to outlast the rest of them.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is that like in Time Pilot, you can camp at a level forever.
Okay, yeah. Well, then, yeah, I guess you just have to keep the score going. You have to roll the score over, I guess. Just figure out, hack it in, and keep the score from ever going down.
There was a guy back when Xbox Game Room was a thing.
Right.
There was a guy that the Atari game, the crazy one that had like re-smashed the coteel and shit.
What? Oh. Revenge. That's what I'm thinking of. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, all right. Well, there's this game. All right.
Yar's Revenge? Is it
not? Yar's Revenge! There you go.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Sorry.
Yeah.
yeah, so in Yar's Revenge, like, there is a max score there, and it will just roll the score back around, but not count it.
Right.
So I remember watching videos of guys that could max the score. They would get to the very end and just, like, die. So the game would end and get as close to perfect, because, like, oh, if I kill one more enemy, it's going to put me over a couple of points. So I was like, well, I'm as close as I can get with the roll that I had, so I just have to die.
That's fine.
And you could go back and watch all the videos from, like, high-scoring runs. I always... Game Room could have been cool.
Right.
If anybody else legitimate would have signed on other than Konami.
Right.
But, like, all I ended up with was, like, fucking Atari 2600 games and Intellivision games.
Right.
It was a real shit show.
Yeah. Real garbage show. But it won't be a garbage show at the Louisville Arcade Expo.
No, I'm excited.
That's coming up.
I've only been 1 year. I had a really good time the year that I went. I thought there was a decent amount of machines there. The thing that I really liked was that there were one of the subway machines, the white Japanese-style arcade machines, that was playing Neo Geo stuff. So I just kind of pulled up a chair and was like, who wants to play KOF 98 against me?
Let's do this. Yeah, it was good.
Pick a Bogart. Any Bogart.
Should be a good time. Can't wait. There was a crazy taxi machine there last year, so... I might show some of my skills.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've played a Crazy Taxi arcade machine.
Right, with the steering wheel and everything, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I bet I could still slam a drift.
Well, we will see at the Lou Arcade Expo next weekend, so it should be good. But for now, I think it's time to get on to what we've been playing, and technically our topic of the day. Which is basically, what have we been doing this week? I went to MAGFest, which was a blast. Haas, what have you been playing this week?
I played a bunch of video games.
You played a bunch of video games.
I also bought some video games.
Which is atypical of this podcast.
I played a bunch of video games. I wrote a couple of reviews up on the site.
Yep.
So I recommend you go take the opportunity, just check out some of those. I wrote a review for Firewatch. I also wrote a review of the Xbox One port of Rocket League.
Mm-hmm.
I played a shitload of Tom Clancy's The Division. They had the public beta.
I'm sorry, the Division.
The Division.
The Division.
And I also went out and bought Fire Emblem Fates Conquest, as well as the Fire Emblem Fates Limited Edition new 3DS XL.
How is that Fire Emblem game?
I'm going to decline this call real quick. so what do you want me to start with?
How's that new Fire Emblem game?
System's cool. It's basically a 3DS XL, like the new one. It's got the right stick and all that other stuff.
Sure.
Subtle paint job. Like, yeah. I was concerned that it was going to be loud when I got it, but yeah, no, like, it's real subtle.
Yeah, yeah.
All the little art designy stuff. It doesn't say Fire Emblem on it anywhere. That's why I like it. I don't really typically like game-specific hardware. I say that pretty regularly.
Yeah.
But whenever it doesn't actually say what the thing is, I can get down with it. And they use, like, a pearlescent spray for all the logos. It looks good in the light.
Yeah.
I'm really confused why the bottom is black.
Yeah.
The rest of the system is white.
White, yeah. I don't know. I guess because dirt.
I think it's, like, they're showing, like, the Fates, you know, the Birthright and Conquest paths.
Oh, yeah, okay. That makes sense.
It is different art on each side.
So right.
That could be wrong. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It is a design choice, an arbitrary design choice, I'm sure.
So I bought the hard one.
Okay.
I bought Conquest.
Right.
There are two games that came out at launch, and they're Birthright and Conquest.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you start off as the same character.
Mm.
And it's the first six chapters are always the same.
Right.
You're basically the son of this evil king, and he got all these brothers and sisters, and you've somehow lost your memory, and you're remembering how to become a warrior and all this shit.
Right.
So you got a couple of test battles, and a lot of anime in there, lot of good 3D, like, action scenes, a la, like, think your Final Fantasy VII style battling.
Mm-hmm.
But this game is in traditional Fire Emblem fashion. If you're not familiar, it is a top-down tactical game.
Mm-hmm.
I would reference Massive Chalice, but our footage never got up for that.
Nope.
We lost that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's your traditional strategic, tactical battling game. Final Fantasy Tactics is one that's
Shining Force.
Yeah.
Those types of games. Yeah.
Yeah, there's XCOM.
XCOM is that.
Is one of those. I really, really am enjoying it so far. The one thing that I did forget about was how rudimentary the art was on the map.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on the actual play field. It's all flat, and the characters are very small, so they're very undetailed.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as, like, you click an action to attack somebody or cast a spell or heal or whatever, it zooms down into a fully 3D rendered thing. No loading in between it. It's quick, it's snappy, and, you know, it shows the combat effects and stuff like that. I've always been a real big fan of the way that Fire Emblem gets down.
Yeah.
When it comes to that. You know, it's been a series that was always pretty successful in Japan, but never was successful here until Awakening.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people know that, like, Awakening was actually supposed to be the last Fire Emblem game. This is it, you guys.
Yeah.
You know, here's our loving send-off.
Right.
And that game exploded.
Yeah.
That was a game that it was so hard to get your hands on it. For like the first month that it was out, that people were paying like $60 and $70 for it.
Yeah.
Because people are weird and won't buy digital versions of games. but yeah, so this new one, it, you know, adds more ripples to the combat. It does a lot of things that other tactical games don't do that I really like. Like, you can basically stack characters on top of each other on a playfield and the move is one.
Oh, interesting.
And you only get one action out of that character. So there's two characters on one space, but they work as a support class for that character. So you can stack up ability sets and stuff like that. Right. We'll also take shots for you in battle that doesn't affect your damage.
Right.
Which is nice. So it works a little bit like the loyalty system did in something like Persona,
mm-hmm.
where like they'll protect you from a killing blow.
Yeah.
Especially in a game like Fire Emblem, like your character is the one that's important. I don't want anybody to die. I play it on the everybody fucking dies, you're dead mode.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, fuck, sucks. But I play them that way, so it's nice to know that like my support characters, who I care about less,
yeah,
you know, can take shot for me if need be.
Right.
But yeah, you're moving, you know, X amount of squares at a time. You're, you know, you're queuing up attacks. You know, there are enemies that can be in fortified areas that raise their defenses and give them, you know, more ranged options.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's the Fire Emblem you want. Now, getting into this more deeply, I bought Fire Emblem Fates Conquest.
Right.
The second game, Fire Emblem Birthright, after the sixth chapter, goes in a different fork in the story. Conquest goes in another direction. If you bought Fates, if you bought Conquest and say you finish it, or you start it and you say, oh, I've made a horrible decision.
Right.
I want to go the Birthright path. I don't, because you actually pick which side of the conflict you want to live on.
Right.
And that's what's on the cart.
Right.
So you can actually do a digital upgrade. You don't have to go out and buy Conquest or Birthright. You can actually do a digital upgrade through the 3DS store, $20.
Okay.
So if you want to get both of the initial launch games, it's $60.
Right.
And if you want all three, because there's a third one that comes out in like a month, it's another $20.
$20.
So $80, you get everything, whatever.
Right.
You know, they're each so fucking long and satisfying that I have no problem. Like, there was a special edition that is now selling on the internet for like $200.
Jeez.
That was $80, but the cool thing was it was all three games on one cartridge.
Yeah.
That is going to be the game that in a few years people are like,
you mentioned that last week.
$3,000and shit.
That's gonna be like, that's gonna be worth a lot.
Because it's Nintendo, they'll never repress it.
Yeah, they'll never
repress it. Although I could live to regret that because they did repress Xenoblade Chronicles for the Wii.
Oh yeah.
Which brought the price on the secondary market down a little bit.
Yeah.
Like Ocarina of Time for the 3DS is going for like $50.
Okay.
They're repressing that.
Okay.
As a player's choice for like $30.
There you go.
I mean, fuck, if people are out there paying $50 for it, I mean, why wouldn't Nintendo just say, okay, give us $30?
Give us $30?
Yeah.
I don't know. As we've known, Nintendo has seemed to be allergic to printing money sometimes. Other times they're smart, but other times they're just like, oh, do you think we could have got paid for that? Yeah, we probably could have.
I will say this with Nintendo. In, like, the last couple of years since the Wii U kind of crashed and burned pretty hard, they understood the value of money more.
It's true.
Because,
you
know, like, up until recently on the Wii U, they were not making money on their hardware, and they weren't selling a ton of accessories because you want to play it with the gamepad and not any other accessory.
Right.
So they just, they didn't have that license to print money anymore that they normally did, so that's where Amiibos come from, that's where new 3DS XL comes from, that's where multiple versions of this game comes from, represses of old games. It's, their thought process is changing. It's like, you know, hey, if somebody's standing at a counter waving money at you, fucking take the money.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
Why would you not do that? Yeah.
So yeah, like it could go either way. They may fucking repress that special edition next week. I don't fucking know. But I tried to find one. I went all over hell and back, and I couldn't find one.
Right.
And I just said fuck it, and I just bought Conquest and moved on with my life.
Yeah.
And I'll do the double upgrade. I'll give them $80. Fine, whatever. But yeah, I really like it. I think the design aspect of that universe is cool looking. I think the anime in it looks really good. I think their character sprites on the overworld leave a lot to be desired, but the character sprites in the conversation system are very sharp. I think there's a very artful craft that goes into the design of those games. There's a reason why everybody always loved them. There's a reason why once I got my hands on Awakening, I was like, I am into this series. It's a gateway drug to tactical strategy games In the same way that Pokemon is a gateway drug into RPGs, mm-hmm. and Yo-Kai Watch is a gateway drug into action RPGs.
Yeah.
It is, you know, it's one of those, man. Like, this is, just like Pokemon is my first RPG, this is my first tactics game.
Right.
And, you know, I loved it, because, like, so many tactics games, I always wanted to like them, but I never could crack the nut, because they were always designed towards, well, only a certain amount of people like these games, and those people are so fucking hardcore that if this isn't hardcore enough, they're not gonna buy it.
Yeah.
So they always went super fringe.
Yeah, yeah.
Like fucking Tactics Ogre and shit. Like, holy fuck, I remember playing that back in like 97 when it came out.
Right.
And I just handed it to my brother and said, go play this for a few hours and tell me if I'm crazy. This game makes no fucking sense. And he came back and was like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you're right. That doesn't make any sense at all.
But yeah, I Fire Emblem Fates, we'll have more to say about that. I named my character Bagel Bites.
Sure you did. That makes sense to me.
Oh, and I finished Yo-Kai Watch.
Oh, did you?
Talking about my 3DS. That was before I even put in Fire Emblem, I was like, well,
I should beat Yo-Kai Watch.
I can go to the last boss. And I've been killing time, because I like that game so much.
Right, right, right.
But I was like, yeah, I should go finish that off.
Yeah.
That game's so good.
Yeah.
That is 2016's greatest handheld 2015 game that I have not played. I don't know if it's better than Super Mario Maker, but I think I might like it more than Super Mario Maker.
There you go.
I really, really like that game, and you should play it.
I will definitely play that game. It's sucked in all of Japan and you and everything.
Against all odds.
All odds.
It made me watch anime. Yeah. I finished Death Note last week.
You did.
That was fucked.
Wasn't it?
So good.
It was great. Oh, man. Ah, the ending of Death Note was
go watch cool. Death Note.
Go watch Death Note, guys. It's,
all the double and triple crosses at the end of that.
It's it's ridiculous.
It's like the best Mexican standoff you've ever seen.
Because I knew that you would have the fake journal.
And I had a videotape of you talking to the guy who had the thing.
And we replaced the parts of the journal of the parts that weren't in there. And you have the part in your watch. It was great.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
It's good stuff. Loved it.
Go watch Death Note.
Go watch Death Note, yeah. Giovanni, one of the most unsung heroes of anime in the history of mankind.
What's my next anime going to be?
I don't know. You're watching Titan, right?
Attack on Titan. I don't think I'm going to finish Titan.
It's a bit, it's not.
Although, dude, my friend EJ, Dash Cancel on YouTube.
Yeah.
He lives in Japan. He's been playing through Attack on Titan for the PS4. That game looks fucking cool.
Oh, yeah? Really?
It's fucking like Bionic Commando and Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
And you're fucking just zip-kicking Titans and shit. It's cool.
That sounds pretty all right.
I kind of want to import that because the PS4 is region-free.
There you go. There you go. Sounds good. How far have you gotten in Titan?
Like four episodes?
Four episodes. So, where are you at? What's the last thing that happened?
Dude, I barely remember.
Okay, well, if you don't remember that, something happens around episode 5 that, like, kind of changes the landscape of it.
Maybe
I don't know if it'll interest you, but it was very intriguing to me.
Well, here's the thing is that, like, with anime, like, with my experiences so far, it's like, you gotta. Yeah. You know, I'm a scared fish.
Right.
You gotta hook me
hard. You gotta
hard.
Hook it, yeah.
As soon as I start sniffing that bait, man, you gotta fucking shove it in my lip.
I think you should give Cowboy Bebop a try, because that's another one that's very not.
Is that on Hulu?
Anime. Yeah, it's on Hulu. Yeah, it should be on Hulu.
As long as it's on Hulu,
yeah.
I'll give it a fucking go.
Yeah, yeah, it should be on Hulu. Give that a shot. If it's not, it's on Netflix. I know it's on Netflix.
I don't have Netflix.
I thought you had Netflix.
Not anymore. I got rid of it a while ago.
Actually, it might not be on Netflix, but it probably is on Hulu, because Hulu has a ton of anime. Like, a ton of anime.
Does it have Neon Genesis? Have I got it?
Don't watch Neon Genesis. It's the worst thing ever.
I've had a whole bunch of people telling me to watch it.
It's the worst thing in the world. I hate it. I sat through 26 episodes of that piece of shit, waiting for Shinji, the worst fucking protagonist in the history of mankind, to grow a set of fucking balls! And he never does. And fuck
him. Here's my question.
Yeah.
Pacific Rim is one of my favorite movies.
Yes, yes, Pacific Rim is fantastic.
What is the Pacific Rim of anime?
The Pacific Rim of anime. Oh, that's tough because Pacific Rim is like a culminate. It's like a culmination of all like giant mecha anime, I would say. So it's hard to really say.
Well, and it's totally just a kaiju movie.
It is. It's a kaiju movie. It's an Ultraman like fighting monster type anime. Voltron, you know, like that sort of deal. I've never seen
Voltron.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's cheesy as all hell. It's like, I wouldn't recommend Voltron.
I'm not going to watch that.
No, I wouldn't recommend Voltron. Watch the opening sequence of Voltron, and that's about it. I don't know what the Pacific Rim of anime would be. I'll give that some thought.
I want to see some mecha.
You want to see some mecha? Maybe check out a Gundam? I don't know.
Where do you start with Gundam?
I know, Gundam's a hard thing to say. I like Wing, but all Gundam fans hate Gundam Wing. So, 8th MS Team is actually really good. That one's really good, because it's like Gundam Jungle Warfare, and it's only like 8 episodes. That one's pretty alright. I would recommend that.
I remembered something recently.
Yeah.
That I have seen another anime movie other than Akira.
Oh, yeah. Right?
I remember, because it's been like 17 years ago, a buddy lent me this fucking worn-out VHS tape that he had of Megazone 2-3.
Megazone 2-3. I've not seen this.
And it was years before The Matrix. It's sure. The fucking Matrix.
It's The Matrix, yeah.
And it's badass.
Yeah, there's some stuff out there that's...
I tie it so closely to The Matrix, and I've spent so much of my life trying to forget The Matrix.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Because we all should.
Because we all...
Dark City was the better movie.
Dark City was a better movie. That's the thing about Matrix.
Monkeys was a better movie.
That's the thing about The Matrix is, like, everybody's like, oh, it did stuff that, like, nobody's... No, it did stuff that's been done a million times, but it put it into a simpler package.
Well, and it's
so people could understand it.
Its accomplishments were in cinematography.
Yes, and it was that, and indeed.
Yeah, but like, nobody stands around today talking about how great THX 1138 was, because it's like, it's kind of just a visual spectacle.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's all it has going
on. And that's all it is, yeah. So, anyway. But yeah, anime, you know. Maybe check out some more anime.
I'm sorry for all of you who hate anime. I swear, I'm going to talk about it less soon.
Whatever. People who hate anime, just skip to the...
Whatever. I know for a fact that Russ hates anime.
Yeah, well, that's fine. He doesn't have to watch... Russ doesn't have to watch anime.
I'm making Russ watch anime.
You're going to make Russ watch anime? Dude, watch Death Note. Russ!
Hey, bro. Bro.
All
right.
We're going to set up a thing where you have to watch all of Death Note before you can listen to the next few episodes.
I'm not going to belabor this point too much.
Okay.
Because there's a full review on the site that is spoiler-free. I played and finished Firewatch.
Ah, yes.
Dude, you should play Firewatch.
Yeah, yeah.
That is one of the most engaging experiences from a narrative perspective and from a universe immersion perspective that I have played in a very long time.
That's nice.
That is a game that I genuinely stopped and thought and considered and weighed options and thought about the implications for the words that I was saying for every single response to everything in that game.
Wow.
It got to the end of that game and I had to make agonizing decisions for myself that I didn't want to make.
Jeez.
The way in which that game wraps intrigue and mystery is only rivaled by, like, the second season of Lost.
Wow. That's
it is
a good season.
It's the best season. Although the pilot for Lost, the first two episodes. That's the best two episodes.
That's the best two episodes of television, yeah.
Probably ever.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
I remember at the end of that, like, oh, what the fuck? It was so good that after the pilot came out, people wanted it so bad that they just sold DVDs of the first two episodes.
First two episodes.
It sold millions.
Millions of episodes.
But that was before everybody stole anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love Firewatch. Mm-hmm. I think Firewatch is, you know, its roots in being from the writers of the first season of the Walking Dead video game are very apparent.
Yeah.
You know, in for anyone who's not familiar, the Walking Dead first season, for all of its missteps in gameplay and poorly timed introductions and exits for characters, it has a heart-pounding nature to the way that you respond to the world around you at times that is unmatched by anything, and this game feels like it is in that vein. You know, the one thing that I will say, and I will not go into specifics here, is that I have seen a lot of people online saying quite a few negative things about the resolution for this game.
Hmm.
So maybe know that going in, that you may not necessarily like the way that the bow is tied on the package.
Okay, yeah.
But I will leave that as general as humanly possible. I walked away from it with a great big smile on my face.
Right.
Feeling like I had been in some ways changed. You know, it definitely changed the way that I thought about the way that I interact with characters in video games. Because I'm a guy who's just like, fucking default option, whatever.
Right.
You know, in Mass Effect, I kind of got into... you know, the interaction system for a while, and then I just figured out, I just want my character to be a dick and kick people out windows. And that was all I did after that. Because
right.
I just... In select... It's so transparent in most games, the way the interaction systems work.
Right.
It is a good-bad scale.
Yeah.
And no matter what, you're going to end up in the same direction, or you're going to end up with a hero-villain game where you end up on the opposite side of it. But guess what? The two people are still going to be standing in the same room, and the resolution's going to happen.
Right.
That's how 99.9% of games go.
Right.
This one felt very different. This game felt alive in a way that I can't quite describe.
Right.
It also has a very large open world for you to traverse. It gates itself in the same way that a game like Metroid does. By abilities and equipment that you have and things like that, where as the course of the summer is going on, you know, you're learning things. And, you know, I think I want to show you this after the podcast. I want to show you the opening of Firewatch.
Oh, yeah.
Don't go watch the opening of Firewatch if you're listening to this.
Yeah.
The only reason I'm going to show it to Brandon is that I don't think he'll play this game.
Yeah.
But the opening of this game in text only.
Yeah.
And choices.
Yeah.
I've heard it compared to the opening of the movie Up, in the sense that, like, people have not even started the game and they have cried.
Oh, God. That's no fun.
It's fucked up. but it gives you a full idea of who the character of Henry is.
Sure.
Why he's doing what he's doing, where he's going, and kind of a hopelessness that sets up his downtrodden nature.
Right.
If you would like to see some of this game, Giant Bomb sat down with the creators of Firewatch and played through after the initial intro, basically, like, once you're standing at your Firewatch tower getting ready to start your first day on the job, they play the first day of the game,
right.
And there's not really any massive spoilers in there.
Right.
So if you want to see what this is before you plunk down $20, I would recommend watching that, but as soon as you figure out if it's something you want or not, turn the video off.
Right.
Because there are things in there, it's one of those games where once you experience something once, you can never experience it in the same way again.
Yeah.
And I feel like so much of this game is based on a tactile feel.
Yeah.
Of feeling like I'm experiencing this for the first time because it's happening to me.
Right.
But yeah, that's... Wow, I droned on about Firewatch for a while.
Yeah, that was Firewatch.
I really like that game.
That's a good game. It's a good game. But yeah.
Rocket League.
Rocket League! On the Xbox One.
The Xbox One version of Rocket League came out. And against all odds, I played a whole shitload of that game.
Yeah.
Because Xbox Live has been fucked lately.
Has it?
Fucked. They've been getting DDoSed to shit.
Mm.
And services have been up and down for a couple of weeks, and they only acknowledged it a few days ago.
Yeah.
And whether you acknowledge it or not, Microsoft, it's happening.
It happened. Yeah.
And it was continuing to happen. It was making me very angry to the point where I decided, you know what, I'm buying The Division on PS4. I'm probably going to buy a lot of my multi-platform games on PS4 for a while.
Sure.
I like the Xbox. I've got that really nice controller and shit like that. But you know what? That PS4 controller feels fucking great.
Yeah.
That's a good controller. Like, I didn't have a single problem with the beta there. I was having tons of problems on the Xbox because of the fucking DDoSing.
Yeah.
It looks better on the PS4. Not by a mile or anything, but it looks better there.
Yeah.
I think Rocket League. Sorry.
You're fine.
The Rocket League, I played a whole shitload of that game when it came out on the PS4 last summer. It was actually a free game when it came out there, so I was more than happy to give them $20 for it here. The Xbox One version of the game is kind of, think of it like a Game of the Year edition. It comes with all the DLC that had previously been released on the PS4, because what they did was they gave the game away for free and then charged for all the DLC. That's kind of how they made their money back on the back end.
Yeah.
And they never gave it away for free on PC, so all the updates were free on PC.
Yeah.
So that's how they kind of did that.
Yeah.
So they gave it away there. They put it on sale on the Xbox. They added a few extra Xbox-exclusive things. There's some drawbacks to that version. One of the things I forgot to actually reference in my review is the fact that the PS4 version of the game, you can play against PC players and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
But the Xbox One version is closed network.
Okay. Yeah.
You cannot play with anybody else. It's just Xbox people. But don't worry. As of now, there are, at any given time, 50 to 100,000 people playing that game online. That game's selling just fine.
Yeah.
The Xbox version, I paid an extra $2 to get the Back to the Future DeLorean.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks awesome. So whenever you're hitting boost, it shoots the fire tracks behind you.
Yeah.
And it starts shooting the blue sparks up front when you're at top speed. That game is awesome. I wrote a full review about that game, and there's tons of gameplay of that game out there. This is not the best version of that game, but if this is the means with which you have to play it, this is a worthy version of that game. The one technical drawback I have with it, in addition to the not being able to play across platform, would be the fact that this game has some frame rate hiccups that the PS4 version did not have.
Right.
Typically, if you're coming out of a boost, doing a kickflip, and you collide with another car, I had quite a few instances of frame rate chugging or straight up just lost frames.
Right, yeah.
Which was weird, but it never necessarily affected performance, but it was visually noticeable.
Right.
It's one of those things where it didn't stop your progression in the game, but you were just like, well, that was weird.
Yeah.
This isn't the best version of that game, but this is definitely a version that you should play if it's the only way that you can, or if your friends are there, because, you know, me and my buddy Todd played a fuckload of it. You know, we got pretty decent, started playing team doubles, and, you can do 1-on-1, 2-on-2, 3-on-3, or 4-on-4.
Yep.
And my preferred methods are 2-on-2 or 3-on-3.
Yep.
But yeah, like, just play the living hell out of it. It's a fantastic game. You don't have to like cars.
No.
You don't have to like soccer.
No.
You don't have to like sports.
No.
It's just fun. You should probably like pinball.
Yeah, probably.
Because I feel like that game's a lot like pinball.
It is a lot like pinball. It's just fun. And you kind of get the hang of it, like, pretty quickly after playing it just a couple, like a couple of times. You're kind of like, oh, I should hang back on the ball a little bit. I shouldn't just go for the ball every time. Somebody should, but, like, you know, if you hang back, you'll get that angle right.
And that you can't boost through the ball.
Yeah, you can't boost through the ball.
It becomes like playing soccer, where you have to juggle the ball in front of you, juggle your speed, which leaves you open to, manipulation by other cars and everything. So it's cool, man. Like, and, there's some really awesome stuff you can do about, like, banking it off the wall to yourself.
Yeah.
Jumping forward, doing a kickflip somersault, and kicking it into the goal. That just feels good.
Yep.
And that game's great, man. You guys should probably check that out.
Kickflipping the car. It's a good time.
The last thing I'll say is that I played about 10 hours of the Tom Clancy's The Division beta.
The Division.
I have decided to purchase that game.
Okay.
I like it. I think the gear's good.
Yeah,
I think the drops are good. Mm-hmm. I think the dead zone stuff is cool. It's all entirely PvP zone.
Yeah.
I really like that. If you're somebody who does not like PvP, do not play that game.
Yeah.
That game is not for you.
Yeah, that's where the meat is. And I love how they do the PvP there, just because it's not just like a rampant. You'll get these tense moments where you're not...
There's no
reason to murder anybody.
Until they're going to extract.
Exactly. So you literally don't want to, because then you become a target. So there's these tense moments of like, are you okay? Are you just, all right, I'm going to go over here. And it's just,
Me and my buddy Steve ended up running around for a while. Like, once we had hit the cap on all of the level caps and everything and gotten, most of the dead zone gear that we needed, we started around playing a game that we called Butt Raiders.
Butt Raiders.
where we just started fucking ganking people.
Uh-huh.
And, oh, it was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun.
We just became rogues.
Well, and
a big group of rogues.
We would do all kinds of fucking, like, you know, distraction gimmicks and shit. Like, oh, like, yeah. Well, you guys are going to extract? I've got some gear on me, too. I'm going to extract and then yeah. hang out. And, like, you know, I'm fucking waving at him, getting him to wave at me and doing jumping jacks. And then Steve just drops in and... Everybody's dead!
We trapped her, you fools!
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, it's awful.
It's awesome. It is social engineering the video game.
You remind me a lot of The Hateful Eight, which I just saw this week. So, yeah.
I've still not seen that yet.
Yeah, it's pretty okay. It's, you know what? You know Tarantino? It's that.
Then I'm not going to watch it.
It's literally that.
Then I'm not going to watch it.
I'm just saying. So, yeah, it's like,
glad you've saved me the time.
Yeah, I'm saying. I was like, have you seen Reservoir Dogs? Then you've seen Hateful Eight.
I haven't liked one of his works since Jackie Brown.
Yeah. Then you've seen Hateful Eight. If you've seen Reservoir Dogs, you've seen Hateful Eight. You literally have. So, anyway, moving on to what I did this week. I was at MAGFest, and I did a lot of stuff. I played a lot of things at MAGFest because they had a whole open arcade section, just like we have here at Little Arcade Expo, but, like, much bigger. I posted a little video of that on the page and everything. It was pretty great. I found and sent a picture to you of Black Knight 2000.
Yeah.
And that was great.
Did you play it at all?
I did play it. I walked up there, I waited behind this guy for, he was kicking butt at it, and I waited. Sadly, it was hard to hear because of all the other, stuff, but it was playing, and I was like, yeah, it's doing it. It's doing it. First round I played it, I sucked. I just boomed three balls out entirely. Next time, I got around that loop about four times, kept getting the drawbridge down.
Got some multi-ball going.
I was like, yeah, I'm rocking this. And yeah, it was pretty good.
You were the Black Knight?
I was the Black Knight.
He's a Black Knight.
He's a Black Knight. Oh, like, but yeah, that's a rad pinball game.
It's the best.
It's pinball game. I'll go ahead and say it, bro. I my heart belongs to Jurassic Park, but
too mechanized.
Jurassic Park does not have the love.
See, here's the thing: like, there are like Twilight Zone and sure. Addams Family and Jurassic Park mm-hmm. and Terminator 2.
Sure,
like, there's some good machines out there,
yeah.
but they're in that that Williams era of like mid 90s,
right?
Where everything was too mechanized,
sure,
and you could never own one.
You could never own one because it would just break down.
Like Black Knight, it would work forever.
Yeah,
20 years, you could leave it in a dark room by itself and come in, and Black Knight would be fucking yelling at you, and you're like, yeah, this is great,
totally fine. Just a couple of sensors and some banking shots. That's about all that's in it, but. Yeah, it works. And
dude, what if you had like a Black Knight 2000 machine and a Sinistar?
And a Sinistar?
That'd be the loudest game room you've ever.
Sinistar! He scares me.
Beware, I live.
There was a coward. There was a Sinistar up on one of the projectors yeah. one time that they played really loud.
I love how loud they always had the speakers in those machines.
I took place in the WWF No Mercy tournament. I won one round and then lost the next immediately. So it was like one after the other. So yeah, people are really good at that game.
Yeah, like, you know, there are people now who still use the editing and shit to make current wrestlers their current movesets.
Oh yeah,
and No Mercy.
One of my friends, Jake Reber, he's one of those people.
Fuck that guy.
He made Daniel Bryan. He turned Chris Benoit into Daniel Bryan. He turned.
Well, that's almost not fair.
That's
cheating.
No,
he turned HBK into fucking Dolph Ziggler.
No, he turned HBK into Dolph Ziggler. Yeah. Who was Bray Wyatt? I can't remember who he turned into Bray Wyatt.
Probably Bradshaw?
Yeah, something like that. It was somewhere. But it was pretty funny. But yeah. I took place in that. I watched the Skullgirls tournament. My friend Hunter entered that. He got to round
Triple H
two.
Was there.
He got. What? Triple H was there? Was that MAGFest?
Your friend Hunter?
Oh, shut up. No. Not that Hunter.
Not Paul Levesque.
Not Paul Levesque. No. My buddy Hunter, he got to round Yeah, round two. And then he got beat by a guy who played Beowulf. And, yeah. But no, it was a two-player guy, I think, I want to say. But yeah, whatever. Yeah, Skullgirls. It's a good game. Love that game. But I wasn't going to compete in the tournament because I'm not good at it. That was fantastic. I played Virtual On. Sit down. That was the greatest. I played that.
So it was regular Virtual On, not Oratorio Tangram, correct?
Yes. Regular Virtual On with the stick shift down here, the two modules, right? Two sections, two joysticks, twin sticks. And it was great.
That game's awesome.
I love that game so much.
That's the kind of anime I'm talking.
Right? I know, right? Yeah. It's like, if there's a Virtual On anime, I will let you know, because I don't know.
Virtual Anime.
Virtual Anime. You did it. Corner Office for you, sir.
That's what we're calling it.
That's what we're calling it. We're making a new
Sega
show.
Sega!
We're making a new show called Virtual Anime. Yeah, Virtual On is one of my favorite games of all time. If I was to ever get an arcade machine, it would be Virtual On. It would be a two-seater Virtual On double stick.
Really?
That would be the one that I would get. 100%. If I had a man cave with an arcade going into it, that's what I would get for it. Other than that,
it'd be the whole room, though.
It would be the whole room. It's the only one that I would need. That's why I would want it. It's the only one that I need, because it's the only one that would fit.
Not like an NBA Jam?
No. The only other option I would get would be a four-player with a switch-out card, so that I could switch out, like, Dungeons & Dragons, the X-Men arcade game, stuff like that.
Yeah, you just need a jam it system.
Just a jam it system to go through all those. That would be the only other option. That would probably be the better option, because there's more stuff you can put into it. But still, if I was just going to get a console, an arcade machine as it is, it would be Virtual On. Two-seater. Because it's amazing.
I guess my short list would be...
Yeah?
Time Pilot, which I will acquire soon. I'm shopping smart.
Nice.
There will be a Time Pilot machine in that spot.
Time Pilot
in my living room.
In your living room.
I've already got a spot for it.
Right.
Time Pilot machine... either a Blitz machine or a JMTE machine.
Right.
One of those two. I wouldn't want both, because mm-hmm. they're so similar.
Right.
But yeah, Crazy Taxi machine, obviously.
Crazy Taxi, yeah.
In the best of all worlds where I have unlimited space,
yeah.
Four-player sit-down Sega Rally.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that'd be pretty rad as well.
I fucking love Sega Rally.
Sega Rally. It's a good one. Also went to a few concerts, which is really fun. Went and saw DJ Cutman. That was cool. He does a lot of remixes of Mega Man music, which is pretty cool. Also saw...
Was he opening up for DJ Gutsman?
No.
What about DJ Plugman?
DJ Plugman? Is that the other? No, just DJ Cutman. I also went to the Tupperware Remix Party and Ninja Sex Party concert, which was fantastic. Those guys know how to put on a fucking show. They are rad. So, basically Ninja Sex Party is just a parody group of... They do a lot of, like, goofy comedy music. Some titles include the hit What If We Were Gay and... Everybody shut up, I have an erection. So, good stuff.
I like everyone to be quiet.
Everybody shut up, I have an erection. Yeah. I've actually heard some of their processes for just naming things, And one of the guys is always just like, just writing stuff down or whatever. It's typically a parentheses or whatever. And it's like, are you ready to rock all night? Parentheses or day, depending on your availability.
You know who I think you would really like if you've never heard them?
Yeah.
There is a band from somewhere in the UK.
Yeah.
It might be up in Scotland around Liverpool.
Right.
But they're called Goldie Lookin' Chain.
Goldie Lookin' Chain? I've not heard of them.
They're also known as the GLC.
The GLC?
Have such hot jams as Your Mum's Got a Penis.
Nice. Okay, yeah.
Which is pretty good. They're, you're looking for like some really sounds shitty like... UK garage fucking rap,
sure.
There you go.
Sure. That sounds like the kind of thing I just listened to.
So yeah, if you need more of that,
yeah.
GLC. Yeah. Look them up.
There you go. Ninja Sex Party and Tupperware Remix Party, they're actually doing a tour now. Cool. Ninja Sex Party, they were always just a two-man band. It was always just Brian on the keyboard and Danny as the vocalist. And but now they got Tupperware Remix Party, so they have a live band.
Oh, cool.
So they're just going to go and do tours, which is really cool. And they are releasing a cover album of 80s hits, which is pretty cool. And they did Aha, Take on Me, and Everybody Wants to Rule the World. So that we were there. That was the only two that they played. They, of course, have a full album of it. It was awesome, and it was the biggest. It was the biggest performance. It was the biggest audience they ever performed in front of, which was 5,000 people.
That's cool.
We were pretty up close too, so it was a blast. And went to their panel afterwards, and you know, we were going to go to their signing, but we got there late, and it was already closed off, so we didn't get anything signed. But they're going to Indie PopCon, and Hunter might be going to that as well because he wants some to get something signed. But yeah, that was awesome. But I want to go into the meat of what I played, which was the indie stuff that was there. There was a whole indie arcade expo type deal where people would just, they literally would just have their indie game out there. And there was a cool one that I can't remember what it was. I can't remember the title of it, and I didn't play it. But basically you were in command of a ship, and you had five other players that were with you. You had the tablet, and you were the captain. And you had to direct each of the five guys.
Oh, it's like Space Team.
Yeah, like Space Team. It's Space Team. That's what it was. Yes, that's exactly what it was,
oh,
I believe.
Well,
yeah,
go.
Okay. Yeah, it was Space Team. Yeah. It was called Space Team, and like they had it on the projector. And, like, yeah, it was going around.
We
yeah.
can play Space Team together.
Oh, can we? Yeah?
Yeah, you can play it cross-platform, so like iOS and
oh,
Android.
Really? Oh, brilliant. Okay, see, I didn't know that. Cool. Yeah, so I had no idea what that
it
was.
It must be
so
blowing that up into a bigger game, because like Space Team as it exists now is like just a few instances, and it's like 99 cents, or a free version is available.
Sure, they're probably campaigning to like blow it up bigger and make it, you know, because they had a huge screen for it and everything. And
it's cool.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome, because like people were like, I don't know what to do, it's not cooling. Like, it's like, you have to do it this way. It was pretty great.
Space Team's pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. Just had people screaming at each other, like groups of friends. Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes was there, which
of
was
course.
Always great. I had many friends who had never heard of it. I was like, dude, you guys got to play that game. And they fucked up, and it was great. Because they would panic and start yelling at each other.
Is there a vowel in it?
Is there a vowel in it? Ah! So, yeah. That was great. But the two that I really enjoyed that I sat down with was Liege, which is basically a tactical role-playing game. Not basically, it's exactly what it is.
So we're talking like Fire Emblem?
It's sort of like Fire Emblem.
All right, so you got my attention.
It's a little different than Fire Emblem because all... It's interesting. You basically just walk around like an RPG.
What's the platform?
Yeah.
What's the platform?
What's
coming out on?
It's going to be coming out on... I have that written down. It's going to be coming out on iOS, PS4, Android, PS Vita, and... Wii U. So.
I might get that Vita version.
Yeah, I might get the Vita version, yeah. But it's interesting because basically you're just walking around RPG style. When you come into combat, goes into dots, and you know, grid-like dots on everything where all the positions are. Typically, the scenarios that I saw, your guys would be surrounded, and then sort of like Yo-Kai Watch in a way, except instead of rotating around them, your section around, you would rotate your guys to hit the people best around you, and then you would spread out, and you would all attack at once. It wasn't like a he attacks, then your guy attacks, then that guy attacks, and that guy attacks, and he attacks back. All of your guys went out and attacked at once, so you would take the basis
instead
of the hit.
Like enemy, you know, turn, your turn. It's everybody has a turn.
Exactly. Everybody goes, boom, you do the slat, you do your big slash attack or whatever. Your one guy does that, your one guy does the heal. And you just keep going from there. But it looked pretty cool.
One of your guys goes heal?
Yeah, goes to heal. He goes heal. He turns on you. It's amazing. It's a randomizer. It happens every time.
Ambrose, I always knew it.
Dean Ambrose, I knew it. How is he not the only one that's gone heal? Like, how has he not gone heal yet?
I don't know.
Sorry.
He's too popular.
The developer is John Ree. He was a nice guy. I met him. Super cool. It looks really awesome. And... it was fun to look at. I didn't get to play it because there were like three other guys, but I chatted with him and I looked at it, and it was pretty cool. It was just a different take on the tactical side and everything. So I'll be interested to see what it is. It apparently hit its funding on its Kickstarter, so it'll be coming out. And
they have a timetable on its release?
No timetable yet. He was still like collecting, or he wasn't collecting signatures. I'm sorry, another guy was because he hadn't got it funded yet. But he was just you know, handing out like. You know, cards and stuff, and saying, you know, come support if you want. You know, we could always use extra for stretch goals and stuff. So
cool. They've
hit a lot of stretch goals, and they're coming to actual consoles as well.
Cool. I might sign up for their mailing list just to keep tabs on. I don't typically kick in on pre-release stuff, but
yeah.
you know, if somebody wants to go out there and make a good-ass tactics game, I'm in.
Mm-hmm. Now, this one...
For whatever reason, I've played, like, four of those in the last year.
Now, this one, I played more than any other game here at the Expo. This game was awesome. Combat Core by Micah Betts. It was amazing. It is basically Power Stone. It is specifically Power Stone for the Dreamcast.
Go on.
For the new consoles.
Go on.
Look at that. The art, everything from the art design, the gameplay, everything. It's Power Stone, but not Power Stone. You're in this dome-like structure. It's the same camera angle as Power Stone. 4v4, you know, 1v1, 4-player type deal. There's probably other modes, I'm sure. It's already been funded. That game is awesome. The one big change is you don't collect the Power Stone. You actually can select the Power Stone as you select your character. So depending on what your character, you know, which character you have, you select the Power Stone on it, and then it changes their...
Oh, so your character has a static number of, like, ultras
yes,
that you can use.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. And so then, it becomes like choosing your ultra, choosing your super in the newest yeah. Street Fighter game.
Yes, in the newest Street Fighter game, yes.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So, basically...
I like the random quality of Power Stone, but I can respect that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yes, I kind of like that too, but, you know, it was just kind of a cool little different
sometimes
you know,
thing you get the bazooka and it's sweet.
It's true. But from what I could tell, it seemed like it was a different power depending on which gem you used on which character you used. So I feel like there's a lot of different combinations you can get from that. Because there's about 8-9 characters in this thing. All of them really nicely designed. My favorite was Skates because, you know, I always like the character named Skates because, you know, Streets of Rage 2. He was the best character.
What?
Yes, Streets of Rage 2. He's like the best character in that.
Fuck you.
He's like the fastest character and nobody can touch him. And he has the most, like, combo hits. He's like the best character in that
You're
game.
You're the kind of guy that would play Scout in fucking Team Fortress. Look, I can run faster. I can run faster.
I would not.
Yeah, I'm a heavy and I'm going to fucking drill you down.
I wouldn't play Scout. I'd play Spy. He seems fun.
I'm a heavy.
He has this. Is the French accent.
I've played probably like 500 hours of Team Fortress.
Team Fortress, yeah.
I've never played anything but heavy.
Everything
if you gave
heavy.
Me another character, I would have literally no fucking idea what to do.
But yeah.
But my buddy Todd played Medic and I played Heavy. You don't need anything else.
Yeah, you don't really need anything else. But no, I played the game with Micah. He was there the whole time.
That's awesome.
And we just had a freaking blast just playing that game, trash talking. And it was fun. It was
so were you
great.
Playing it on a PC with controllers hooked up to it?
Yeah, it was. Well, it was just an Xbox. It was hooked up to an Xbox, and yeah. So it's coming out for. It was an Xbox, right? Yeah, or was it PlayStation? I can't remember. It was an Xbox. It was Xbox controllers. It might have been hooked
up to a
PC.
PlayStation. It was hooked up to an Xbox.
It was probably, yeah,
PC, sorry.
Yeah, it was probably hooked up to a PC.
Because they had said that they were going to, before the Xbox One came out, they said that you were going to be able to use Xbox Ones
sure.
as dev kits, but they never actually turned that fucking thing on.
Right.
So you
right.
actually have to build your Xbox One games on a PC.
On a PC,
so
right.
That's what you were playing.
Right, okay, yeah. So it will be available for the PC, the Wii U, and the Xbone, so...
the Wii U.
Yeah,
cool.
Yep, should be on the Wii U as well. But yeah, art design looks exactly like Power Stone. A few hiccups in it. Obviously, it's a demo design, so I'm not like ravaging this
game's
thing.
Game's not done yet.
The game's not done yet, but whenever somebody lost one of the lives, it would freeze. Just for like, it was like a long, like, 1-2 second pause, and then it would cut back in. But other than that, it's really cool because, like,
it was probably resetting math.
When you make a good hit, when you make a big hit, the whole game slows down, so, like, you can see your guy going, you know, hitting the other dude, and I got this awesome... It feels good to get off a good hit, and it's not hard to see what's going on,
here's,
which is nice.
Here's my one question.
Yeah.
From a graphical perspective, is it big and blocky and bright the way that Power Stone is?
Yes. Yes, I'm going to go ahead and say that it is. You can probably take a look at it and make your own judgment on that, but...
Yeah, I'll have to look this thing up. Just because when I think Power Stone, outside of the box level design...
Sure.
And outside of the actual Power Stones themselves, Yeah. I always just think of the fact that it's a Dreamcast game and it runs on the Naomi hardware, so yeah. everything is brightly colored as shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that the characters are big proportioned, like yes. the Gears of War guys are.
Yes.
Like, and all their arms are just like, ah!
And that's the thing, is that's what I like about this game, is that, you know, it can be kind of clusterfucky to have a bunch of people in that, with that camera angle, but the fact that all the designs of the characters are completely different
yeah.
from one another, you can clearly tell this person from that person. And yeah, they all have like bright neon, you can kind of see it in the designs there. They all have like bright neon, green, blue, pink, shiny parts to them.
When that's out, I'll yeah. gladly give that man money.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good game.
And I'll gladly beat your ass at that game.
We should definitely. In fact, I did hit him up, and we might get an early copy for the site. So
cool.
That would be pretty rad if we did that. So, yeah, booyah. Shout out to Michael Betts, because I'll probably tweet this at him. As well.
It's not going to affect my review score.
Yeah, what?
All right.
Is it not?
You can't ply me with your free wares.
You can't ply me with your free wares.
No, I'm genuinely very excited to play that.
Yes.
I've been saying for years that there are two games that it's criminal that they never made sequels to, and it's yeah. Windjammers and it's Power Stone.
Power Stone. Agreed. Yeah, yeah. I totally agree. Where's Windjammers, damn it?
There's a guy making a game like Windjammers.
Is there?
For 3DS.
Oh, yes.
So guess what? You and me, we wireless playing some fucking Windjammers. Flying Power Disc?
Yeah, flying Power Disc, whatever it's called. I don't know. But that game is rad. Michael Bates, a good guy. And love it. So that's it. That's all I got for Magfest.
Oh, he got top slot too.
He did get top slot.
Like the main event.
I played the shit out of that game. I kept coming back, and I beat him a couple of times. I beat the dev a couple of times. Like that's a big. I feel like that's. I don't know. But no. And yeah, it was a good time. I loved it. Yeah. There you go.
That's awesome!
Magfest! I recommend people go to Magfest. It's a 24-hour con, so 4 days. There's always something happening, like 24 hours, literally. Like, you look at the pamphlet, and there's never not something happening. It's from, you know, 12 a.m. to 12 p.m. on each day. It's insane. There's that's always cool. a concert going on until Sunday it ends at 5, and that's it. But, yeah, there's a concert going on, there's a panel, autograph signings, fucking...
I'm sure every local bar is full of people.
Right, yeah, it's like, the whole top section, tabletop gaming.
Here's my question.
Card games.
Whenever I go to these things, there's always one machine there.
Yeah.
And there's always a bunch of old men betting on games of Warlords. Was there a four-player Warlords machine
I didn't
with
see
men
a,
betting on it?
I didn't see a four-player Warlords machine with old men betting on it.
Because there's always just guys with just dollar bills laying there fucking playing Warlords.
I've never experienced this. That sounds
fucking
amazing.
Warlords.
Yeah?
That's a game.
Is it? I haven't seen that.
Yeah. All right, Warlords is it was an Atari-made game. Basically, it's the one where you each get like your own castle in the like.
Oh,
four corners,
yes!
And you turn the wheel.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
Arkanoid, but in four directions,
right.
four players.
Yes, yes,
yeah.
I do know that game. Okay.
Every time I go to one of these things, no matter what state it's in, there's always a Warlord's machine. And there's always old men betting on it.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, man, I want to be that fucking cool when I'm
yeah.
old.
Yeah, yeah. There was an old Pizza Hut one that I remember from way back in the day. So yeah, awesome. But yeah.
Pizza Hut always had a cocktail machine. Miss Pac-Man, Warlords.
Warlords, Galaga.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Good stuff. But yeah, video games, people. We love
They're
them.
They're back.
They're back. They never left.
It was a while there when there wasn't anything coming out.
Yeah, yeah. But it's still a billion-dollar industry, so what are you going to do? But yeah, there you go. Magfest. Go check it out if you can. It happens every year around February and... National Harbor or Baltimore, quote unquote, because they have to say Baltimore. Yeah, it's a good time. It's a fun drive from there. Yeah, I actually don't recommend driving. I hate driving that route. It's terrible. Driving through Virginia sucks. It's all hill. Like, they didn't drill through any of the hills or mountains. They just built around them, and it's a roller coaster of nonsense. It's 70 miles an hour.
Well, you forget. that's the same road that I had to take to go to DC.
Yeah, yeah. So it's the exact same road. Yeah.
Like, other than like the last 40 miles of your journey,
right?
I did that whole journey.
You did that whole journey
before I did a 24-hour live
stream. Yeah. Yeah, it's the exact same road journey because, pardon me, because we looked over and as we were crossing the bridge, like, looked up, there's the Washington Monument right there.
Yep.
So, yeah, we thought about going into D.C. just to check it out, but we
never did. It's our fucking war zone.
We were just, really? Like, just.
Holy shit, getting anywhere in a vehicle in D.C.?
Right.
The only smart thing to do is park on the outskirts of town where the end of the tube is.
Yeah.
And just buy an all-day ticket for fucking $10 or whatever.
Right.
And just ride the subway everywhere and walk everywhere else.
There you go.
Trying to drive a car literally anywhere in that town is a fucking fool's errand.
Good to know. All right. So, now that I know that, but
that's what you do in the future.
That's what I'll do in the future if I ever want to check out D.C.
You should, because, man, those museums, they're all free.
Right.
And they're beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful museums, yeah. There you go. Cool. Awesome. That's it for this episode, I think. That's all I got. I got to tell you about Paul after this. We're not, I'm not talking about that on this because I'm not spreading that. No, not Paul Heyman. But yeah, maybe we'll talk wrestling after this is over or whatever. But anyway, that's it for this episode. You can check us out at videostruck.com. We got written reviews up now. Got them cranking out over here because Haas found his writing bug again. It's happening.
Yeah, I've heard some good things. Like, apparently, like, I, despite the fact that I haven't written reviews in, like, 7 years, I'm not completely awful at it. So.
But yeah, I've got a few.
And maybe read it and say that I am awful. Maybe I am. Yeah. Maybe people are just blowing smoke at my ass.
Who knows? Yeah, it's like we need critics to be good. So, you know, I'm gonna
start. Pressure, no diamonds.
No pressure, no diamonds, baby. Yeah. So I got a few ideas up here about stuff I can write about. So I'm gonna start doing that. A lot more content coming up. Video content's on its way as well. We have a new capture card and everything, so should be good to go.
I have one thing to say.
Yes.
Eric was off work for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And he didn't do a single fucking thing. He's like, oh yeah, man, I'm gonna make some videos. It's gonna be great. He didn't do a fucking thing.
What? Well, the thing broke. Our old thing.
He has a computer!
Well, yeah, that's
it
true.
It does it!
Yeah, no, he never did anything.
That's all I have to say.
Follow us on Twitter, @VideoDestruct.
Follow me on Twitter, @Hoss_buddy.
He talks to wrestlers. So, we'll catch you guys next time.
I talked to Taylor Hendricks today.
Oh.